Accession number 19990, reel 24.
Chief Technician Roper, reel 24. You were saying you've been in touch with Odium about the use of Rivenaise. What was Rivenaise?
Well, it was a liquid which was developed in Norway for cleaning purposes, helicopter engines there. And the Air Force was trying to sell it to us. Now, we didn't have a problem. Our engines were clean. We seldom had to use Turco, which is they're ground up walnut shells. It's like a sand, except it's not a hard sand. It's a soft, sandy sort of constituency. And you used to fire it into the engine if you had any serious oil or build up on the blades. It used to help to restore the power. Now, Odium, of course, might have had a bit more of a problem because they didn't do this washing as frequently as ourselves, and they did need something that would shift the gunge every sort of 25 hours or 50 hours, whatever the frequency was. But they had trialled this Rivenaise, and they'd said that it was no good. I also had sight of a report from Great Yarmouth, where Bristow was operating over the sea, and they had also tried the Rivenaise, and they'd found that over a period of time, the power went down of the engines, and they had to restore it by the use of Turco blasting. And there we had been tried to accept this Rivenaise, which wasn't a British product. It cost, I think it was something like £50 a drum. And I wrote a report at the time and I said, I believe that neat gin would be cheaper and it could have other uses than the stuff you're suggesting. And I fought this, and they were trying their damnedest to get this introduced. And eventually, I went to more senior officers and I said, look, here is a report from Bristow's that say that not only is it no good, it also adds to the deterioration of the power output from the engines. And I said, if you want to go ahead and force us to accept this, I said, I've been trying cleaning these engines with kerosene, and water, with there was a stuff called not Ardrox, it was a cleaning agent, it was French, and we tried every darn thing to improve the cleaning whilst I was at Odium. And I said, not only you've got this, and I said, Rolls-Royce were in on this trial, so they know that it's no good. And I said, they are here and trying to sell us it. I said, it stinks, it's politics, nothing to do with efficient cleaning methods. And I said, while ever I'm in charge of my section, I shall continue to use water, you see. And they realised that if they didn't watch the step, that because I had nothing to lose then, I was within a couple of months of coming out of the service, that they'd better hold. And when I left the service, I went to a final sort of meeting, because we used to get all the NCOs from the flights, all your opposite numbers came down once a year to Finningley, and all the senior engineering staff and everything, and everybody could have the say if there was a flight that wasn't happy with the way we were operating or we weren't happy with what they were doing. It was thrashed out, and we had a good party afterwards and went away friends and tried to help each other more afterwards. But the at the subsequent meetings after I left the Air Force, I was still in touch with a number, and they brought in a thing called Zot 1 or something, and they were introducing this into cleaning. And whether it was Rivenaise under another name, and what they're using today, I don't really know. But I know that they didn't get very far with my contemporaries who replaced me, because they had seen the argument I'd had, and they were very reluctant to accept anything that was either too expensive. Because if you can make the job easy, and water from a tap is just a case of connecting a hose or switching a tap on, and you'll find that anything that's easy, it's no problem to do it. But once you start having to mix things or get 50-gallon drums of this and so on, then it tends to that it's a little bit neglected, or they don't quite use as much to do the job that they should be doing. And today, I don't know whether they've got round the problem, but I'd like to know. And that's, I think that's about it, you know. Enjoyed the early part of my career, and particularly the active service, where I don't think I ever had, during my later years of service as a senior NCO, the responsibility I'd held as a corporal in Cyprus during the Ochre Troubles and Suez, where we could raise red line entries and authorise aircraft to fly at our own discretion. It sometimes frightens me that I was allowed to do this, but it taught me a great deal. But in later years, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, unless you happened to be in a situation where there was no alternative either. And I've been in situations where you say, well, we either fly the aircraft back or we put a match to it now, particularly in Borneo, where nothing could have been got into the air, to the area where you'd gone down. And you either had to bodge and take certain risks, and you know, it was a case of the pilot and yourself. If he was prepared to fly it and you were prepared to fly with him, and you had sort of limited the weight it could carry, or put certain limitations on the flying of the machine, and quite often we got things back that normally would have had to stay there, and that was satisfying. And there might have been an element of luck. You could easily have ended up in a bigger heap than you started with. But
what do you think you gained from having been in the Air Force? What did you learn which
well,
was
certainly
of persistent value to you?
The one regret I have is that they closed Halton. Because as a young man of 15 and a half going into training at Halton, It was quite strict, and it was disciplined, and the people that were responsible for you certainly knew what they were doing, and you sports wise and education a terrific benefit, but more to the point, most of those who I trained with signed on. Some only for 12 years, others to 22, others for life. And a lot of them didn't stay in their ground trade. Where they'd been trained as an engine fitter, we met them as station commanders who were pilots and so on in later years. And they hadn't they went through the selection process and were pushed into various trades, and some of them were certainly misfits, but the general training, the education and the discipline did us no harm at all. And when you look at the Halton reunions today, you find that there are engineers from all walks of life, from Rolls-Royce, from all the big airlines, and Halton, to see it destroyed after doing good service for, 70 odd years, it's been a bit of a blow. And there are very senior officers who are of the same opinion. And that's the only bit of the Air Force that I still am associated with. I still go down to Halton, and you meet your contemporaries and the young ones that have followed us, and they've all got something in common, and it was probably some of the finest training you could have wished to have been given.